For the Father seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth, saith the Spirit of grace. This is what I birthed you for, is to have fellowship with me, says the Lord. For I desire above all things that as you come into my presence, as you labor in my presence, that I can visit you. But I desire to bring you into mine, for I'm always here. I'm always in that place of waiting for you. And now I ask you to wait for me. Bakaresene mokoreketini. For the harvest will be, prefaced by this. You're waiting in my presence. I have no greater joy than to see my children, and from the Lamb's perspective, my brethren, wait in my presence. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you. So good to see the elders up front worshiping God. It's just a blessing to my spirit. And those in wherever you're at, worshiping God. We're going to receive communion and we're going to extend worship this morning. But right now you can just quietly be seated. We're not... Harry, continue to play. The rest of you can be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're not going to receive the offering right now. I'm just going to pray that God touches your hearts. And that at some point this morning, you place something in. So Father, I worship you and glorify you. I thank you that you've provided and met all of their needs, and that you meet all of the needs of this house according to your riches and glory. That you're the one that speaks to the hearts out there being in here and out there beyond these walls. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm so glad you're here this morning. I'm so thankful for what he's even began to do in preface, the spirit that he has come with already this morning, and the anointing. Hallelujah. Next week we will continue on, as far as I know, if the Lord is willing, we'll continue on with Beyond Born Again. But he interrupted me a few days ago and began to place in my heart this particular service for us. And of course I just work here, so I'm not in charge. I just work here. I just listen to the one in charge. Hallelujah. So when he interrupts, and so next week we'll go right back into it. Really, we've got 2 to 3 more weeks, I know, of really good stuff. And we'll go into even that last parable that we used out of Matthew chapter 25 about the works and people, when the Lord said, you did or did not visit me in prison, you did not visit me or did or did not visit me when I was sick, on and on and on. Got some really wonderful, powerful satellite verses that I had even last week, but time would not allow. But we're going to go into that again next week, so stay with us. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew chapter 26. And we're going to look at verse 36. We're not going to be a whole long time in teaching, because I really want us to get over into the communion and also to the extended worship time. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we just again address this moment in time. We thank you, Lord, that you've given it to us for the purpose of going in. Everything is orchestrated by you. We give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, precious Holy Ghost, more than anything else, for your person being here to glorify Jesus and take every single one of us to the next level. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, Matthew chapter 26, verse 36, and this is towards the end of Jesus' life. He's going towards the cross, and he is in the garden. And by the way, Easter, our celebration of Easter is coming, everyone, so praise the Lord for that. It's getting that time of year. Matthew 26, 36 says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray." So he said that to the most, to the nine. Well, actually, there was eight because Judas had went his way. So he says that to those eight, "Sit here while I go and pray yonder." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. So he took those three with him beyond the others that were there stationed, where he said, "Stay here." He took three more with him. Then saith he unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here." Everybody say, "Tarry." "Tarry ye here and watch with me." And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thou wilt." So we won't go on reading there. The essence of it is this, is that Jesus in the crux of everything that's about to take place, he's going into prayer. He's going into intercession. His soul is very heavy. He takes with him the bulk of the disciples, says, "Sit here, stay here." He takes three more, goes a little bit further. And another gospel says he went a stone's cast, just a little ways further to be by himself. But he asked the three, he said, to tarry, "Will you tarry with me?" Now we know through sequential other gospels and this one is that whole ordeal took about 3 hours. There were three consecutive times that Jesus went back and he found them that they were asleep. They could not make the hours. They could not take the time to spend. The word tarry here in the Greek means to stay in a given place. It's a state, a relation, or an expectation to abide, to continue, to dwell, to endure. This is the word that Matthew used, to be present, to remain, to tarry. Jesus asked them also to watch. When he went back, he said, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" The word watch is to keep awake, for example, to watch literally or figuratively, to be vigilant, to wake, and to be watchful. Now, let's go over to one other place. Well, actually, we got two other places, but let's go over to Acts chapter 1, please. And let's look at verse 1. In the last illustration that we just read, the one with Jesus in the garden, again, we see a picture of how important it was for him at a given time for him to endure the moment. Now, that was enduring for us, but he asked those that were with him to endure with him and to watch with him. Could you not watch 1 hour? We could give them a lot of excuses. They're not born again. They're not spirit-filled. But we also understand that these things, as the Word says, were written for our example that we may grow by, that we could understand. He's asking his disciples, this is plain and simple, us, he's asking us a question. Can we not tarry with him? Can we not tarry with him? Can we not be watchful with him? Let's look at another example here. This is Paul, this is Luke writing in Acts chapter 1, verse 1. And by the way, I'll pause right here for just a moment because the Holy Spirit reminded me. For those of you that are watching this morning, while I'm reading this or while you're sitting there, maybe you can send someone or yourself, if you're an individual, to the kitchen and get prepared here in a little bit. Maybe you'll have that time when we break in just a few moments because we're going to have communion. Please have communion with us. I've had people write us over this past year and say the times that you have communion in your church, we serve ourselves, and it's very, very powerful. So you can do it with anything. Just go get a piece of bread, small piece, a cracker, whatever, and some kind of juice. You can use water. It doesn't matter. The elements do not matter. It's the going through the faith-filled part of it that's really going to matter. So begin to prepare yourself for that. Acts chapter 1, verse 1, he said, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait." Everybody say wait. "But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the time or times or seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and into Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Now, that's all we're going to read there in Acts. The important part was this, is that Jesus told them to go and to wait. The word wait here in the Greek means to stay. It just means to stay. This is exactly what the Greek says, to stay around. You could put it in our modern-day vernacular and say, hang around. I want you to go hang around Jerusalem, go in that place, and stay there until you be endued with power. The word says that he was seen after his passion 40 days. Now, I've tried to pick this up in the Greek, and I haven't been able to get it yet, whether it's the start of his crucifixion or his resurrection. But that whole thing is, parentheses, his passion. That's what it's saying. So what we've got is this. He was seen 40 days. We know that he was crucified on Passover. It's exactly 50 days from Passover to Pentecost. The word Pentecost means 50. So somebody says, "I'm Pentecostal." That means I'm 50. No, you're spirit-filled. I know. Okay. But it's 50 days from Passover to Pentecost. Okay. He was seen 40 days from his passion, his passion. But let's say he was from the time he's resurrected. So what I'm saying is this. Those that went and stayed after his ascension were at least 7 to 10 days in the upper room. They were at least 7, that's the low end, but it's possibly up to 10 days if you go from the beginning of his crucifixion after his resurrection. Doesn't really matter. They were there a while seeking the Lord. He told them to wait. The word wait again means to hang around. It just means to stay around. Now, We're going to receive communion together this morning, and this is another important scripture confirming our subject matter this morning. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 with me. I've given you two examples already from scripture concerning just waiting or staying in the presence of the Lord. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Now we're not going to go into all of everything leading up to this. I can tell you there was a lot of problems in the church. Paul's trying to correct some problems about the communion service. They were actually eating communion and when they were having a big feast. And he was saying, you're not differentiating the value. You're devaluing. You're marginalizing how important this is. That's why we don't do communion when we're having a feast. That's why I don't even, I'm not mean about it. I'm not a stickler, get legalistic. But even the kids growing up, the bread that we have up here, when they come up, a lot of times they'll say, can I take that bread home? And I don't stand up here as a mean pastor, but I just told the ushers and stuff, that bread is supposed to be something symbolized in their minds and our hearts as something sacred. In other words, we shouldn't be like, say, for instance, you that went and got your bread. You're not. I'm just saying you wouldn't sit there with a Cuban sandwich or a hamburger and take your communion. Why? Because the communion is so sacred. It is supposed to be something so set apart that it's divorced. It's totally separated, divorced from any kind of meal. This is not a meal. And that's what Paul was actually saying. You're eating it like it's a meal. It's not a meal. It's something that is sacred before God that's going to bring healing into your bodies and healings into your minds. So sanctify it as something pure and holy. That's what he was saying up to the point that we're about to read. So let's read in verse 23. This is what Paul said he had received as a revelation concerning the importance of communion. For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you. In other words, the revelation that he had concerning and what the Lord had given him. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do you in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. Now, I've got to thank Gary Carpenter for the wonderful series that he did on communion and how he broke this down. This word is not unworthy, it's the word unworthily. It gives a consciousness of an understanding that they're not consciously, it's not talking about, woe is me, I'm a sinner, I'm unworthy because I've got so many hang-ups in my life, I've got so many glitches, and I've got so many character flaws that I might not be a good candidate to take or to receive the communion. That's not what this is saying. It's actually saying this, the unworthily is actually pointing out is that they're not receiving the full consciousness of what he did for them, and they're discounting it unworthily, that it's not relevant to what needs to be the thing that can change their life. It can actually change their whole life. And so he goes on here to say, wherefore, whosoever, again, shall eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. In other words, they're not fully invested and under somebody did not teach them, nor they teach themselves. This is why Paul said, this is what I got from the Lord. Understand how important this is, that his body was broken for us. And he says, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among us, or among you, and sleep. In other words, there are many infirmities because the the fullness of the understanding of what Jesus paid for us, beginning in, as Luke said, great drops of blood, all the way through every station of the cross, he bore in his body our infirmities. But boy, did it ever come to culmination when he knelt at the scourging post and he was beaten unmercifully. I used to go back to Deuteronomy. That's good. Deuteronomy tells us that he was beaten for us. It was a typification. It was a symbolic of how that Moses would talk about if a man be found and he's got a problems with others, that he's to be beaten 39 stripes, on and on and on. That's the healing. Jesus' stripes brings forth a healing among us. But Jesus was not beat. He was not beaten just 39, save one. He was not judged by the Jews. He was judged by the Romans. Jesus, there's no, you know, I grew up as a kid here, and he was beaten with 39 stripes. There's no place in the Word. You can't even find any place that even closely symbolizes that he was beaten with 39 stripes. Jesus was beaten unmercifully under a Roman beating. It incorporates us getting along together. It incorporates us as a threefold cord. But Paul is speaking here and saying the stripes, everything that he did, his body was broken. Isaiah 52, his visual form was marred like no other man. 53 says, and by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. If you will take that into account and eat it, believing that, oh yeah, it'll heal the divisions in my family, but oh, by his stripes, I am healed. I'm healed of the darkness that's against my mind. I'm healed of every infirmity that could possibly attack my body. That's eating it with a worth, not marginalizing it and saying it's something less. But look what he says here. This is our crux for today. He says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the Lord, condemned with the world. He's talking about in this communion, you get to judge yourself so that. And he says, when we're judged, we allow ourselves the chastening of the Lord. I love it when the Holy Spirit chastens me, because he doesn't do it mean. He corrects me for my good. That's how a father does. He corrects me for my good. Hallelujah. So if there's any adjustments, any chiropractic adjustments that needs to be worked out inside of me, that's abating, keeping back the fullness of everything he provided, I just say yes. And yes is, I say yes and I eat and I receive. But look what he says here. Wherefore, brethren, when you come together, eat. And look what he says. Tarry one for another. Everybody say tarry. Tarry one for another. And then he concludes, if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come together, not together unto condemnation. And the rest, he said, he would set in order when he came to the Corinthian church. The word tarry means to wait. It's a different word even than the ones that we read before. It means to wait with an expectation, to look, to wait. He couples, look at this, he couples communion with waiting. He couples communion, and he says, here, brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. The church was instructed to tarry and to wait in the atmosphere of communion. Do you see that? That's also part of the instruction. Why? Because healing will come, but he wants us to wait with an expectation. And he also, here's the other part of it, here's the other part of the equation, he wants us to wait for one another. He wants us, is that what it says? You read it with me? What are they waiting for? Each one, the manifestation, was waiting. He was saying, when you're receiving this worthily, or with the worth, rather, that it is, wait, let there be a waiting, and wait for one another. Wait with an expectation. What kind of expectation? I'm going to receive my healing right now. This darkness is going right now. We're entering into another phase of His glory right now. We expect things that are unusual to become the usual. We don't like the norm. We want our feet always on unstable ground. That sounds contradictory. Unstable as in, what are you going to do today, Father? Because I have to trust you completely all the time through the whole service. Because God, you're going to come in here and you're going to do things unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Waiting for one another. Have you ever been to a, I know you have. This is not, this. He's saying something in the natural or something in the spirit that we just all know in the natural. If you've lived very long, you've waited for others. If you've lived very long, I've waited for my children to be born. But I had to go in there, I was in there at the end. But I have been in the wait. How many have ever been in a waiting room? You're waiting for your grandchildren to be born. You're waiting for your family. You're waiting for a doctor to come out and say, it went well. Hopefully, that's what you're waiting for. You're waiting there, and sometimes we've waited all day long at a hospital, waiting for somebody to come out of surgery, waiting to hear some good report, just waiting. We weren't the one having to have the operation, but we were waiting for them. Our anticipation was something good's going to have to happen for them. We're praying for them, but we're waiting on them. Our respect wouldn't even let us leave the hospital many times. Oh, go grab a quick hamburger, come right back, because we're waiting to make sure, well, what's it going to do? I mean, what are you doing? Just waiting is a form of respect. And it's a form also of patronage to what they're going through. I'm going to pay my strength to God. I'm going to wait on God for them. Hallelujah. And this is what Paul was saying. Wait for one another. Wait. Hallelujah. You're getting it. I appreciate you getting it. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I'm healed. And I'm financially blessed, and we are, but I don't need to wait. Well, what about waiting for somebody else? And by the way, how many of you men are pregnant? Oh, because I'm pregnant. I'm about to bust. I'm full of the expectation. I hope to God that there's something inside of you that says, as a man, I want to be pregnant, and a woman, I want to be pregnant with the heartbeat of revival on the inside of me. I want to think about it. I want to eat about it. I want to sleep about it. I want to believe that what He's asked of us becomes pregnant inside of us, that we're carrying this baby all the time, and it's getting bigger and bigger. You're showing, Pastor. Well, maybe other ways too, but I'm telling you, I am pregnant in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, that demeans me as a man. Oh, you're not a man then. You're scared about your masculinity. Listen, you're the tip of the spear. I brag on you so I can get on you in a good way. But I'm right there with you, honestly. I'm right there with you. God is so squeezed into our time schedules that we don't give Him time to do His work most of the time. He's so squeezed into it. The church overall, as a whole. No, don't get up and leave. The church is so oriented to timed services that we schedule our Sundays as any other day of the week. Did you get that? Say hallelujah, Al, or whatever. The church is so oriented to timed services that we schedule our Sundays as any other day of the week. What does that mean? Well, we get out at 12, or if Pastor runs his mouth a little extra, maybe it's 12:15. So I can meet you at 1, or we can do lunch at 2, or we can go to the show at 3, or we can go to the beach at 4, or you know what? Hallelujah, thank you. Now just think about this. I'm not trying to get on anybody. As I said, I mean, I do the same thing. We schedule, you know, family events right after service, blah, blah, blah. And that's not bad. Listen, but think about, just for a minute. Let's just think about our confessions regarding revival. Immokalee is in revival. Gay leads us every week, every Sunday night. What does that mean? We're going to see services like never before. What does that mean? If that means what we say it means, there's going to be some takeovers. We're just going to run. 12 o'clock is going to mean nothing to us. Going to mean nothing to us. We're going to have services. Actually, honestly, we'll never get rid of confession. I'm not saying that. We're going to always have gay leadness no matter what. But I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to, and I hope very soon that we don't have Sunday night services. Because our Sundays just bleed so much, it goes into 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And by the way, we're going to get up here in a little bit and have communion and worship. And I don't care. I'm not going to be legalistic. I'm not looking to when you leave the door. I don't care if it's the same time we always leave. But we're going to give you a heartfelt expression. We're not going to have service tonight, okay? So you don't have to plan on coming back to service tonight. But what we are going to do is we're going to sit up here and worship the Lord after we receive communion. Because one of the things that we have to begin to think about our confession, just think about what we're doing to ourselves. We're believing God for something that catches fire. Listen, you can't do this every day of the week. You can't even do this on Wednesdays. You got to go home after church and get some sleep so you can go to work on Thursday morning. But not from the day of Pentecost, they had to wait 7 days, 10 days. Now, you study church history, because I've read and read and read. There's never been a revival yet from Pentecost till to now that there wasn't corporate waiting on God for it to be birthed. It was always waiting. Always. Is everybody still with me? I believe you are. I'm just asking questions because I have to ask this to myself. How can you have a church that's set on revival when you can absolutely plan your day on what time it gets out? That's an oxymoron. That's two things at once. That's saying it really is. It's an opposite. If you think, well, I can plan on when our service. I'm not trying to create. Listen, I said it best in another place. You cannot. This is the way I want to say it. I started to say it, but I wrote it down this way. You cannot make something happen in the spirit just by performing something like extending service times in the natural. In other words, we can't get together and say, we're going to make revival happen just because we start going 30 minutes longer, an hour longer, 2 hours longer. That doesn't work like that. You can't make that happen. But what you can do is you can provide the opportunity for a birthing through a mindset. That's what we're asking, for a mindset. Do you understand? A mindset that says, Lord, we are open, really, really open to you to do whatever you want to do, however long it takes. Because if our confessions come to pass, we've put ourselves in a bad way here, folks. For 22 years, we've been saying, Lord, come in, take over, have revival. Do you know what that means? Either we need to stop saying that or get our minds right. Because minds right mean extended. If the healing lines extend into 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever, I mean, we won't come back for service. You need to go home and rest, get ready for work. But I'm telling you, Sunday cannot be created in a mindset like any other day. Now, I might catch some of you unaware today. That's fine. You might have to leave this, go someplace, do something, because you weren't prepared. But I'm telling you, for us to go to the next level, there's going to have to be some kind of adjustment coming from the pastor all the way down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's birth at home and it's birth here as well. Well, Pastor, what that kind of teaching, if we can't invite somebody and tell them, no, listen, you can tell them we have some kind of, okay, official. It's not wrong to have some kind of official start and stop time. But as far as we're concerned, it really doesn't. You can invite somebody and say, well, officially you can leave at 12 o'clock or 11:30 if you'd like. Well, Pastor, you'll never build a big church like that. Jesus, do you think at this point in time that I'm afraid of crowds, not having crowds? I have been there. I'm not bragging. I'm saying because of him. I've been there, done that. I got the T-shirt, crowds, little crowds, baby crowds, no crowds at all. Do not scare me. Well, you're not going to have any money. Here's the other T-shirt. Do you know how many times in 22 years there has been nothing in the bank account? And like Gary would say to Sue, we did not die today, surely we die tomorrow. I'm talking about the church account. It'd be like down to 100. And like we're going to pay. And then he'd just replenish it all. It'd all come back again. I've got that T-shirt. I've got I can wear the crowd, no crowd T-shirt and the no money T-shirt. We're not scared. What we want to do is go into revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tim Stemple, which is prince of a man. He's one of my fathers in the faith. I just can't tell you what a man of integrity that he and his lovely wife are, people of integrity and wisdom. He'll tell us preachers. We oftentimes get a memo from him coming to a conference. We get it a few days ahead, or Gary passes it over and says, Tim wants you to know this again. Don't plan anything when you get here. In other words, don't have anything hard set. You can have a loose leaf kind of like maybe we'll get together, but don't plan any fellowship. Don't plan any hardcore meetings, because when you get here, we're going to walk in such a way. He wants us to be listening to the Spirit like this thing may be birthed now. And we have to develop a mindset among ourselves that we're ready at any moment to let it go, to let it extend, to let it continue to flow. Hallelujah. Again, we may go out of here. I don't know what time it is now. We may go out of here 12:01. I'm inviting you as we receive communion this morning to sit here and worship God and to ask God to begin to work on. Maybe your mindset is perfect in this. Maybe you're always ready to stay till whatever. But I'm telling you, for us, and again, Dave used to say, an action in the natural does not solicit or bring into effect something in the Spirit, but something in the Spirit always, if you incorporate it, brings in something in the natural. Here's the thing. I've given you three examples. Paul said, wait for each other. In other words, one of the wonderful aspects, one of the beautiful inroads, better word, inroads into God is waiting on God. Waiting on God. Saying, Lord, see, what happens is while you wait on God, even if you're waiting for somebody else, well, I'm good. Oh, that's wonderful. Are you as full of God as you'd like to be? Are you as full? Are you? Listen, I'm telling you, I wake up sometimes, the alarm doesn't even wake me up. I look over there, it's 4:30, 5 o'clock. Boom, I'm just wide awake. I'm just wired. I hadn't even gotten to the coffee pot. And when I wake up, I'm just like, hello. It's like when I wake up, it's, you know, it's a lot of times, you know, how you're groggy and stuff. Where's a lot of times I'll just, boom, just wake up. And I'm just like, just as awake as I am right now. And it's the pregnancy, it's the fire of revival inside of me. Because I've courted, call wisdom your sister, understanding your cousin, your kinswoman. I've courted these two. I've never stepped out on candy, but I'm courting these two beautiful wisdom and understanding, and they're leading me, and they're saying, go into revival. Go into revival. Hallelujah. Are you ready to receive communion? I believe you are. Hallelujah. Just make sure. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you guys please come? That first song that you sang, that was so good. I love that. Is that the one that Candy asked you to learn, or you guys were already starting to? We didn't receive an offering at some point. If you please, I don't want to have you concentrating on the offering during communion. I want you to concentrate on this. Before you leave, it would be nice. It's available for you. Now, here's the instruction. Okay, thank you, Father. He's going to have me read this. I'm going to read this for you. I could have just read it out of my notes here. I'll read it right from the Holy Word. I want to give you instruction concerning receiving for yourself this morning. Paul said this, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said," Marty, you're up here. One of you guys, one of Rex, I guess, come up, please. "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." We read those in my notes earlier, and I read it to you again, saying this. This morning, I'm going to invite everyone to come. We're not going to have an official, like, I'm going to read this and let's do the cup together, or do the bread together, the cup. I'm going to ask you to go back, sit wherever you're seated at right now, or if you want to kneel up here or pray up here. And at whatever given point you want to receive communion personally between you and the Lord, and then wait for yourself, and then wait on others afterwards, because we're going to sit here afterwards and we're just going to worship the Lord. He came in here so powerful. I was like, oh man, I could feel his presence. When I saw Marty come up and I saw Homer come up and I saw people begin together, I said, Lord, you're already beginning to create this tremendous atmosphere for us today. Again, there is no legalism in this. Please. You have to understand, it doesn't make you go to a higher place when you grit your teeth and say, okay, I'm going to spend 5 more minutes than I used to. That's not what we're after. We're after creating a mindset in us that yields to God and says, Lord, my time is yours, my body is yours, all that I have is yours, Lord. And I'm not in a hurry to receive for myself or others. I will allow you to take 22 years of confession and begin to bring it into fruition to where that, Lord, and you know what? I promise you, if you'll do this, he will extend your times. He will extend your time. Well, Pastor, you must not be a man of schedule. I would just almost beg to differ and say that I'm probably one of the most scheduled people. I'm not saying I'm the most. I've got 3 calendars. I've got one on my desk. I've got a kind of day timer, and I've got one on my smart device, and I've got a log that I keep, and I've done this for years, of four places, or 4 categories of a list. That list is unbelievable sometimes. I know what time I'll go to bed tonight about. Why? Because I know what time I want to get up in the morning. I know what I'll eat tomorrow night. I'm a scheduled person because schedule gives me the ability to have more quality time with Him. Hallelujah. So I'm not about like, let's get real crazy here and let's just figure out that there's no time that we start and stop around here. That's not what you've caught it. So for me to say much more is unnecessary. But let's all stand together, please. If you guys will please bring it up. And you just receive. You want to stand up here? You want to go back? Please go back and sit down. Receive it at whatever given point. Yes, sir. Thank you. Whatever given point that you want to receive communion for yourself, and just sit there and worship the Lord. What's going to happen is some of you out there are going to be healed. Some of you are going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you're sitting in a room with someone, just reach over and touch them at some point. If the Lord says, touch them. There are certain things that just doesn't happen unless you've got some time to wait. So, hallelujah. Father, I bless this communion. I bless this time. I thank you, Father, that our time is ordained of you. You multiply our time, but you told us to redeem the time. And we give all things to you, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. You're blessed. Receive this at whenever you want to. And then just sit around in the presence of the Lord, please.
Hallelujah. Glory and honor unto you, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We worship you above all things, Jesus. We lay our lives before you, Lord. Our lives are not our own, Lord. They've been bought with a price. And Lord, we come down here and we lay at your altar, Lord, and we say, your will be done, Father, on this earth, just as it is in heaven. Your word, your will be done in my life, just as it is in heaven, Father. I lay down my life before you, Lord. I give you it all back, Lord. Everything that I have is yours, Lord. Everything that I have is yours, Lord. My time is yours. My body is yours, Lord. And I lay it at your feet, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. I lay it at your feet, Jesus. Just as you laid down your life, Jesus, I lay down my life, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. I set my affections on you, Lord. My thoughts are of you, Jesus. My thoughts are of you, Father. My thoughts are of you. Your kingdom come. I seek first your kingdom, Jesus. I seek first your righteousness, Lord. Father, I live holy before you. You are a holy God. And I humble myself in your presence, Father. I humble myself in your presence. To know your presence and your glory, Lord. It is my life. Lord, I spend long, leisurely, luxurious moments in your presence. Long, long times in your presence, Lord. Extravagant, extravagant times in your presence, Lord. I lay my life down before you. And to know you, Lord, it is my life. To know you and to obey you, Jesus, it is my life. I pray and I obey, and there is no other way to be happy but to pray and obey, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I bless you, Jesus. Confess with me. Jesus, you are my Savior. You are my Lord. Whatever you ask, That's what I do.
I am your servant.
I am your bond slave.
By my free will choice,
I serve you, Lord.
By serving these people
that you love so much
and that I love so much.
I love you, Lord.
With all of my heart,
all of my soul,
all of my mind,
and all of my strength.
And the second commandment
is like unto the first.
I love my neighbor
as myself.
All that I have is yours, Lord.
My time is yours.
My body is yours.
My family is yours.
I own nothing.
I am your bond slave.
Use me as you will.
Therefore,
we lift up
the blood-stained
banner
over this city,
written in blood.
On this banner
are these words.
Immokalee is in revival.
Immokalee is in revival.
Jesus is Lord over Immokalee.
Jesus is Lord over Immokalee.
And where Jesus is Lord,
the Father's will is done.
Therefore, Father,
have your way.
Not just 30-fold,
not just 60-fold,
but 100-fold.
And again we say,
lost be saved,
empty be filled,
captives go free,
blind see,
deaf hear,
dumb speak,
lame walk,
maimed be whole,
dead live,
in the name of Jesus.
For thine is a kingdom,
thine is a power,
thine is
a glory,
forever and ever.
Your will be done in
Immokalee,
just as it is in heaven.
As in heaven,
so in the earth.
As in heaven,
so in Immokalee.
Immokalee is saved.
Immokalee is saved.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory unto you, Lord.
Hallelujah. We glorify you, Jesus. We magnify you. I was to come and tell you how pleased he was. How really, really wonderfully pleased the Father is of your reception of this message and just your heart. Where you desire to go with him, for those that are here and those that are watching. So many of you qualify under this. Hallelujah. Father, I bless them. Because you bless them. Yes, sir. The Lord says you've gone to another place. And the effects and the ripples of it will be seen in days ahead. And many of you have received, not only here, but those that are watching. And you've received in your body. And those here that have received also in their bodies. Take this message that I have spoken unto you, says the Lord, deep in your hearts. Man, okay. Well, I just have to say this, just like I'm hearing it. He said, even when you dismiss in your services, don't disengage. Don't be in too big a hurry to rush out. I may have something for you to do. Don't put yourself or me on a time clock. This is your time of ministry to me and my ministry through you. When services are over, don't rush out so quickly that you're not still fully in tune with the presence that's here. I may have something else that I desire at times to deliver to you, whether that is a word spoken through your pastor or that is a word that you receive individually for yourself or a ministry that you're to give to one of your other brothers or sisters in the Lord. Be very patient. I come in waiting. I come in waiting, says the Spirit of the Lord. Do not take upon yourself the spirit of this world. The spirit of this world, the world is in a hurry. They're going someplace quickly and they do not know where they're going. They know that they think that they know where they're going, and yet there is no fulfillment in their life. Yours is not the same. Yours is different. Yours is methodic. I promise you, says the Lord, that as you wait in my presence and as you are very patient to come and go, that I will extend your natural time to get things done. And I will cause things to be done that would take hours to be done in moments of minutes. As you heard the prayer that was just previously prayed, I desire to lavish you in leisure. Do not use my house as a house of business. It is a house where family gather. And just like your holidays, when you come together as a family, as a close family, in individual homes, and meals are cooked, time is spent, and it goes so quickly to you because that is where your heart is at, and you cherish each moment. Cherish each moment in my house, says the Lord. Be very relaxed in my house, but very attentive. Come and go, not in a scurry. Come and go in a sense of reverence for me and for one another, and a sense of family, a sense of leisure. Great days are in store for you, my children. Wonderful things that you've never seen before. Blessings beyond your imagination, both in the spirit and in the natural. Pray for one another. When I bring to your attention your brethren, pray one for another. Pray that none are diverted.
pray, husbands for your wives and wives for your husbands. Pray for your singles and pray for your children, grown or of a child. Pray that I encompass them through their own will to be brought into this. Father, we worship you. He is pleased. Hallelujah. We're going to give these guys a break and we're just going to put on some music. You're blessed. He's blessed you. He's pleased with you. So you can stay around some more if you'd like, or you can just know that he's very pleased. So Marty's going to give us something. But let's follow the instruction of the Lord in this day. Hallelujah. Were you blessed? Me too. Hallelujah. All glory goes to Him. So blessings on all of you. Amen. You can go whenever the Holy Spirit releases you. Amen.